It's now in April, 03. Our nation is still at war. However, today made quite an impact as far as the capital of Baghdad. And not by any means over as far as the war. But I hope that the president knows enough about the Bible that there never will be peace between the Arabs themselves, not to mention the Arabs and the Jews, but certainly need to take care of the likes of Hussein, and apparently we have. We have a lot to be in prayer about, along with our country and the battle that our country is in. This assembly, again, I'll just say it every time, if you know of anywhere where we can store some of this stuff, it would be very good. We need to start thinking in that realm and move the seasonal things and get them taken out and taken care of. And then continually praying of where God would have us to assemble ourselves. I got here early and sitting here and just thinking this building. I've been here about half my life. I've been in this building, been the building area, and seen a lot of wonderful things, a lot of battles, spiritual warfare here, in many wonderful ways, and seen what God is doing. But time now to see what God is going to do in the next level. You can't get attached to a building. Having the building has not brought anyone in. I don't think anyone's here because we're meeting in a church building, a building that looks like a church, and so it hasn't served that purpose. So we're just doing prayer and see what God has in store for us. There's so many things that are going on that are encouraging, not being discouraged by all of this. So much is happening on the mission field, on the internet. I'm going to read part of a letter that the State Department received. Thank you so much for sending the tapes to us all these months. They mean so much to me. I only wish I was able to send more in support of this ministry, but it's impossible at this time. The best that I can do is my prayers, and I want to tell you something that's powerful. We seem to have had our share of just your personal problems, just dealing with our state of stress, anxiety, depression. We've had our own share of problems over the years. Just like everyone else, we've had family, financial, and health problems. My husband has Alzheimer's, he's a diabetic, and has a serious heart condition, and now the dentist wants to extract all of his teeth. But the great problem there is that he's such a high risk that he needs to do this in a hospital. And don't know how we're going to be able to pull all of this together. Trying to see what God would have us to do. Please keep us in your prayers. Thank you. Introduced the SAD series to a young woman. This is really unbelievable. This, her, our taper's circumstances. And I hope she's on the case of dealing with Smyrna. And then she writes about this young woman who has been a Christian for 3 or 4 years. She's been molested by her father. And she has been in the occult, which, by the way, a lot of that goes together. The more you study these things, the more you find the rise of the occult with incest and a lot of this type of activity that's going on in the world and in America. Been on medication for many years. She is bipolar and schizophrenic, which goes together. She's confused and acted very strange and weird. She came to my home and was very spooky. She's back to taking her medication, but still confused. I've not dealt with anyone like this before, but it must be demons working in her soul. She insists that it is spiritual. She needs the prayers. My son works as a Christian in a Christian office in a prison. One of the inmates decided to stop taking his medication and just trust the Lord, and it worked out fine. He likes studying the Bible. My son has given him some of the church, a copy of the Christian, of the Gospel for Christians. Thank Herman for his faithfulness in teaching the truth. And he signs her name. Got another one that I decided not to read. Same type of issue in regard to the study on SAD and how important it's been to her. And so these types of things are encouraging, that what we're doing, and that's what we have to keep in mind. So let's be in prayer for each other. Each has unique problems, unique circumstances that God is dealing with. Any specific prayer? Okay, it's good to have Judith back with us. Be in prayer for Judith at this time. And don't forget to express it to be in prayer for my mother. So let's have a word of prayer. Get ready tonight for our study of stress, anxiety, and depression as we study the head of the seven-headed dragon in our soul, the stronghold of jealousy. Let's pray. So many Christians suffer today, Heavenly Father, for a multitude of reasons, and that's not what's important here. The point is, it's a great deal of suffering and the solutions that you have provided. That's what's important. Dealing with those things that rise up inside of us from the strongholds of our soul, the seven-headed dragon of the deep where we cast things. You have made provision. Studying Smyrna, the book of Revelation, the suffering, unbelievable suffering of those believers. We'll be looking at a multitude of passages which talks about the suffering and adversity of the Christians throughout the beginning of the church, therefore setting the pattern throughout church history. Pray now, Father, that your Spirit will guide us as we study these things that are before us. Open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see. And Father, again, I pray that these tapes will get into the hands, the heart and soul of those who suffer from SAD, that these tapes will help them to come into an understanding of how you and you alone will tear down these strongholds, set them free of the bonds that produce stress, anxiety, and depression. For your Spirit will be with me to teach these things. First of all, study them, see them in Scripture, and then start teach them in a manner that is so simple, so encouraging, that those that are suffering can see these things and see that there is a wonderful hope. Pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. So we're in the midst of studying jealousy. We started last week, the stronghold of jealousy. Just very quickly, last week we saw that jealousy is another form of control. The flesh nature needs to be in control. Every flesh nature. And jealousy is just a form, another form of taking control. Then we looked at Proverbs 14:30. A tranquil heart, that's inside of where you are, is life to the body. But jealousy is rottenness to the bones. In other words, the very skeleton structure of who and what you are starts rotting away if you don't take care of the stronghold of jealousy. We saw the source of jealousy, envy, the immune system of the flesh, comes from within. Time is not going to allow us to spend a great deal of time on the various passages that deal with jealousy, envy, but there are a few things that I do want to cover. Now, I wish we had time, and if this was a study class, we would study at this time 1 Corinthians 2, which deals with the contrast of the flesh nature and the spiritual nature. But the purpose of this series is the encouragement of those who suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression, and at this point, namely, jealousy, the horror of jealousy. So let's pick it up at 1 Corinthians 3. If you'll turn in the Bible with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Now, again, I wish we had time to, with the flow, to study chapter 2, which is so important in understanding the flesh nature and the spiritual nature, but we do not have that time. But it flows from understanding the flesh nature and the spiritual nature. From chapter 2, you will note, for who has, verse 16 of chapter 2, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, all you have to do is do two things to find out what Paul is talking about here when he says we have the mind of Christ. One, you go to context, it's been talking about the third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. But even more conclusive, if you study the Isaiah passage from which he is quoting, it tells you it is the Holy Spirit. So the mind of Christ is not something like the Bible, because that's what we're trying to understand, is the mind of God, which is the Bible. So how are we going to understand it if in one hand I've got the Bible and in the other hand I've got the Bible? What we have is, I want to understand the things of God, the Bible. So what I have in having the mind of Christ is the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to open my eyes to it. And we've seen that's how we'll tear down the strongholds of the soul is through a spirit. That's what chapter 2 has been talking about. And again, if we had time to study chapter 2 and the Holy Spirit, plus the Isaiah passage, we'd understand that is the Holy Spirit. Now, forget the chapter break, and now we come to chapter 3, verse 1, as far as the record keeping is concerned, and look what it says. And I, Paul, communicator, brethren, talking to believers who are going through this turmoil, could not speak, teach. There are a lot of different words for communication, people. But our study is to encourage those of you who are experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression. You're not interested in a lot of the study of those things, so let's just get the momentum. Could not teach to you, could not present to you some information as to spiritual. In other words, this is who you are in Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. It comes off of understanding the spiritual man, pneumatikos man, in chapter 2, but it's referring to the believer in the power of the Spirit, ready to take in the understanding. Then he says, but as to men of the flesh, sarkikos, men of the flesh, again, all of that would be clear from chapter 2, so let me just tell you, it means our flesh nature. Who you are in the flesh. The first one, spiritual, who you are in Christ, in the power of the Spirit. Men of flesh, who you are in the flesh, not in the spirit, and therefore have stress, anxiety, and depression, or a sad life. As to babes in Christ, newborn babes who need to spend time growing in the spirit. Now, verse 2. I gave you milk to drink, basic truths as they relate to walking by faith. Basic truths as they relate to walking by faith, formed from the truth of the gospel. Chapter 2 said, I say nothing, have you known nothing but Christ and Him crucified. Why? Because that's how you know it by faith. That's how you're going to live your whole life. Not solid food. Now, what is solid food? Seeing, very simply stated, seeing what is concealed in the Bible. Understanding Job. Seeing the spiritual warfare. Seeing that it is faith, but why faith? Why simply trusting Him allows Him to be able to tear down the fortresses in the soul. Indeed, even now, you are not able. Now that means you're still not doing it, they're still trying to do it in the flesh, not in the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you are still fleshly. What does that mean? You're still living in the flesh. You're living who you are in the flesh instead of who you are in Christ. And people listening to this on tape, if you're hurting, that's why you're hurting. You're trying to handle the battles in the flesh, and it's not going to be done. You're going to try to reason things through the flesh. It isn't going to be done. You're not going to make it. You're not going to be any different than the world then. You're going to need the drugs, the counseling, and all of the things that the world needs, because you're just like the world. So you are still fleshly, you're still trying to do it in the flesh. You're still trying to solve your problem, solve stress, anxiety, and depression, solve the things that cause those things in the flesh. Now look at the first thing mentioned. For since there is jealousy. First thing mentioned. I told you last week, I cannot overemphasize how important the understanding of these things are. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. For you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy. It's so common. It is a common characteristic of Christians, people. This is something that handicaps a great deal of Christians, and Christians will hurt one another severely because of jealousy, but call it something else. But they're jealous. So this is the first thing that he mentions. For since there is jealousy, then he says, and strife among you. People, jealousy leads to strife. First there's a strife in your own soul, and then it is going to lead to strife in your life. When you're jealous, you can't believe what you'll do when a shot of jealousy shoots through you. How you will treat someone else. How vindictive, how you're all the rage. We saw last week, sometimes Christians who are jealous act so bizarre. You can't believe it's you, or you can't believe it's them. People do some of the most unbelievable, unrealistic things in jealousy. And that's what we're talking about, strife. First strife in your soul, and then among you. That is among believers. Then he says with that, are you not fleshly? In other words, that's what the flesh does. When you see strife, troublemakers, all of this going on in the assembly or between believers, there's jealousy, envy. There's the seven-headed dragon there of the soul, and it's going to raise its head. Are you not fleshly? People, again, we saw this almost in the beginning of our study. There are two natures inside of you. There are two natures inside of you, the flesh self and the spiritual. From the flesh comes jealousy, envy, which is going to produce strife. And from the spiritual, a spiritual love that is going to produce forgiveness. Then he says, are you not walking like mere men? Circumcised, men of the flesh. You're walking just like the world. And the first issue of the world is jealousy, and I'll show you why tonight. But we've got just like the world. You're saved. Sometimes Christians will do horrible things out of jealousy, and those that have to witness it are dead. Well, I can't believe they're Christians. I just can't believe they'd do that as a Christian. They can't be Christians. Yes, they can. They're acting just like the world. This is the power of this horrible, horrible stronghold of the soul. Now, look what it says. And because of jealousy and the strife, I want to talk about that for a moment, because this is the environment. Strife is the environment that jealousy and envy, first of all, makes in your soul. In your soul first. Strife in your soul, then in your life. And you've got to understand that what happens, these things create, first of all, an environment in your soul that you carry with you wherever you go. And because there's that strife environment in the soul, it soon starts becoming strife in almost every area of your life. All your relationships. You're jealous of one person or of one issue. But before long, that jealousy and envy, the strife that it will create in your soul, will interrupt all your relationships. You can be jealous and envy at one person at work, But let me tell you something, the strife that it's going to cause between you and your wife, you and your husband, home, children, church, social life, a problem of jealousy, envy, wherever it is, it's going to cause strife in your life, everywhere else. And it will cause that strife until you get it taken care of, and that's what we want to do in our study, is get this taken care of. It comes from the flesh self, because it's inside. So, those of you that are on church, I'm just drawing a circle that represents our soul, our inside, the heart, the mind, the real you. And jealousy and envy is inside. You choose to be jealous. You choose to be envious. It is not spontaneous combustion. It is something we choose to be. Now, we'll go through what causes us to make that choice, but we choose to be jealous and envy. Then coming out of the jealousy and envy, still inside you, strife. The strife is first inside of you. And I want you to be able to appreciate that. From the jealousy and envy comes strife inside of you, and then what is going to happen? It will lead to strife outside. In all of your relationships, particularly at someone that you are jealous or envious of or about, it is going to come from that area. Let's know some principles. I know you're hurting probably if you're listening to the series, but take time to take a few notes, think your way through this. Let's know some principles about jealousy and envy, remembering that it comes from the flesh. Point one, the flesh nature. Your flesh nature. You write down if you want to, my flesh nature resents what others have. Oh no, not me. Well, you're deceiving yourself. So the first thing you want to do if you're fighting jealousy, the head of jealousy, the stronghold of jealousy, don't be in denial. My flesh nature resents what others have. That others have or get things or advantages that I do not have. Point two, jealousy, envy arises, is born inside of us. Because the flesh, please think with me now, because the flesh nature is not satisfied with what you have. That's so important. Why are we jealous and envious? Because our flesh nature is not satisfied with what God has given us. We're not satisfied with the way we look. We're not satisfied with the money we have. We're not satisfied with where we live. We're not satisfied with our relationship with the Lord. We're not satisfied with where we are in life. We're not content. Paul says, I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I am in. Jealousy of the flesh is never satisfied with what you have. The flesh nature is never satisfied with itself. Never satisfied with who or what you are or what you have. Most Christians who suffer from jealousy and envy are in denial of this suffering problem. And therefore, they will never allow the Spirit to tear down the stronghold. Most important thing you can do is stop denying it. Acknowledge that it's there. And then let's go to faith so that the Spirit can start tearing down the stronghold. But point one, the flesh nature resents what others have. Point two, jealousy, envy arises inside of us because the flesh nature is never satisfied with what you have. I think you know, it's just, we all kind of, I'm sure a lot of people often laugh at the stress and envy and jealousy or the hurt of the filthy rich. Well, if I had all that money, I wouldn't be that way. Oh, yes, you would. Oh, yes, you would. The flesh nature is never satisfied. It always has to have more. Always have to have more. Be an old saying, a funny saying, there's no such thing as being too thin or too rich. You can always get more money. More of this, more of that. Never satisfied. Jealousy and envy is never satisfied. Point three. Jealousy and envy causes you to feel threatened by the advantage of others. Jealousy and envy causes you causes your flesh nature to be threatened, to feel threatened by the advantage of others, therefore causing you to oppose and to dislike the fact that others have something you don't have. Point three, jealousy and envy causes you to feel threatened, your flesh nature to feel threatened by the advantages of others, therefore causing you to oppose and to dislike the fact that others have something that you do not have in your soul. Jealousy and envy reasons in your mind that those advantages, those prosperities that others have, make that person, now listen, somehow make that person superior to you, better than you, and you are going to destroy them in your jealousy. You are going to destroy them because they have those things, you sense that they are superior. Now, they're not, and they don't think they are. This is all inside of you. But you think that because they have these prosperities and these advantages, that makes that person superior to you, better than you. It's not true. But this is the mindset of jealousy and envy. At point four, jealousy and envy means that God cannot bless another believer without you getting out of your own spiritual momentum. Jealousy, if you harbor jealousy and envy, you have the stronghold of jealousy and envy in your soul. This means that God cannot bless another believer without you getting out of your own spiritual momentum. Out of that stronghold in your soul rises up this head of the seven-headed dragon. When God blesses somebody else, in whatever way that God may bless them, you rise up. This head rises up out of the stronghold of jealousy and envy, and you are miserable because God has blessed someone else. Think about this. This is going on inside of you. When God chooses to bless another believer, maybe you don't understand why they should be blessed. They're no better than you. They're not as good as you. They don't know as much doctrine as you. They're not as morally righteous as you. They don't serve as much as you. They don't have the charismatic experiences that you do. They don't witness like you do. They don't have all of this stuff that you do. And God's blessing them. They're not better than me. And so God's blessing them ruins your spiritual momentum. That's what jealousy would do, people. You look around at what others have, and kapow. Now, I got a newsflash for you. I got a strong newsflash for you. God is not going to stop blessing other people because it disrupts your life. I'm sorry for you. He's not going to do that. I know you wish you could control God. But God is not going to stop blessing others. So you better get that stronghold of jealousy torn down inside of you. Let God tear it down, or you'll never have any spiritual momentum. This is why people reach a point in stress, anxiety, and depression where they just run and hide. They can't handle anything in life. They don't want to see anything, can't handle anything. Now, I got a flip note also for you on this one, point four. The adversary also knows about this. He knows that if he can prosper others, it will cause such jealousy and envy in you and ruin your spiritual life. I don't understand why the wicked prosper. Hear that a lot? I'm jealous. I don't understand why that horrible person has three homes all over the world, has all this money, and does this and does that, and why those cheats and those drug dealers and those people here and all of this other thing. Satan knows it's just going to disrupt your spiritual life. It's just going to tear you up, and he knows it. He's having fun prospering his own people that follow him, and at the same time neutralizing you. And you're sitting back having a party. Let's look at another passage on jealousy. I just want to give you those principles so to start building some of these things of what jealousy envy is. Flesh nature resents what others have. Jealousy envy inside rises up inside because the flesh nature is not satisfied with what you have, who you are in Christ. 3, jealousy and envy causes you to be threatened by the advantages of others. 4, God cannot bless another or others without getting you out of your own spiritual momentum because of the stronghold of jealousy and envy. Let's look at another passage where we can learn a little bit more of what's happening, why you want to tear down the stronghold, and why it produces such stress and depression in your soul. Let's turn to James chapter 3, please. James chapter 3. Okay, James chapter 3. Now this is powerful, but we won't have to go through it relatively quickly. You've been on the case long enough to know when I say relatively quickly, that doesn't mean it's going to be in the next 2 minutes. But we do want to go through this tonight and not leave it lingering. So let's just get ready because it is so powerful in the study of stress, anxiety, and depression. So let's get it down and move on. Okay, first of all, James chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 13. We'll start our study, our reading, in verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Now, this refers to spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is where that 1 Corinthians chapter 2 study would come into being. This is where you have that solid food inside of you. This is where you have the understanding of the things that are concealed in Scripture and understand what's going on in Scripture. Sometimes understanding means that you don't understand, but you trust God. That's a very powerful point. So that's what this refers to. It comes to a believer who walks by faith in the Spirit, and the Spirit leads you to a love of the wisdom of Scripture. I was just sorry for people. Oh, I don't need to study the Bible. I don't have that desire anymore. Oh, people, you know, if you're walking in the Spirit, it's going to lead you to a love of the Scriptures. Now look what it says. You have that spiritual wisdom and understanding? Let Him show. I think a good word here, a good way of translating the Greek is, let Him demonstrate. You got wisdom and understanding? Let Him demonstrate that He has. Let Him demonstrate that He does have spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let me give you a principle, very important one. Knowledge in itself is not the objective, not the goal. You do not get great rewards in heaven because you know lots of Bible doctrine. I'm sorry. In fact, Paul tells us that's what makes arrogant. That kind of knowledge makes arrogant. The knowledge and wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives is to serve a purpose in your life, to demonstrate something in your life that you belong to Christ. And how do we know this? Well, we have it in so many places, but Gospel of John 13, love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know that you are mine. See, spiritual understanding and spiritual wisdom lets the world know that you belong to Him. So, let Him demonstrate. You claim you have wisdom, you claim you have spiritual understanding, demonstrate it through the power of the Spirit and in the leading of the Spirit. We can't do this on our own. Let me tell you that right now. Don't try to say, well, I'm going to do it. Don't do this. I have wisdom, I'm going to use it. I'm going to apply it. People, it's like love. It's like kindness. You don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that looks like in any given situation. We let the Holy Spirit use it, and He flows it through us at that point in time. Let Him demonstrate it by His good behavior, His deeds, and the gentleness. And that's so important, not the arrogance, but the gentleness of wisdom. Let Him demonstrate by His good behavior and deeds. Now, what are we talking about here? The overt manner of life. The people, you've got jealousy and envy inside of you, that's going to manifest itself one way. You've got spiritual wisdom inside of you, that's going to manifest itself. Something you want to remember as a Christian. This is important with this in demonstrating. The world is observing you, and angels are observing you. You're in a spiritual arena. We saw that in Job. You're in a spiritual arena being observed. And this is why Satan orchestrates things to happen in your life to cause jealousy and envy to rise up. And this is why people, we are to help one another, serve one another in love, because of this very battle that's going on. The stronghold of jealousy and envy, as well as the misery of your own soul, jealousy and envy will manifest itself in your overt life, people, but so will spiritual love. It will manifest itself in your life. Now let's go to verse 14, which is our passage. But, contrast, if you have bitter jealousy, wow, as if jealousy wasn't bad enough, we can compound it. Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. We'll have to work on that one. In your heart. Note where it is. Note where it resides. In your heart. Do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. Okay. Bitter jealousy. Same word for jealousy that we've been studying. Only here James adds a qualifying descriptive adjective. Bitter. Now, all I can say here is, you know what bitter jealousy is if you have it in your soul. And you know what bitter jealousy is if you've ever been the target of it. You'll know it. If you've been the target from another Christian of bitter jealousy, I've been there. I've seen it in the eyes. You know it. We can sit here and academically talk about what this bitter jealousy means. To stay with the word bitter. Bitter jealousy. People, this is where stress, anxiety, and depression come from. Bitter jealousy. In contrast to overt activity that man and angels can observe, in contrast to this, this is what is going on inside of you. This happens inside of you first. Jealousy, envy are inside of you. You choose to be jealous. Therefore, you choose to be stressed and depressed. It's a mindset. I want to be depressed about this. I want to be jealous of them. I want to be envious. And I'm going to be, and I have a right to be. And soon it becomes bitter jealousy. Bitter envy. And people, it'll destroy you. It will destroy you. Bitter jealousy. Inside of you. You choose to be depressed and stressed. Now, the good news, remember we've already studied this. This is really good news. For since you choose to be jealous and envious, you can make another choice to be who you are in Christ. Just as you choose to be jealous and envious, choose to be stressed and depressed, you can choose to be who you are in Christ. So your mindset. AM, academic mindset, or FM, faith mindset. It's up to you. Now look what it says. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart. Not where it is. It's in your heart. It's inside. But before we go there, look at that word selfish ambition. Those of you who have the New American Standard Version, I call it the study version where they put things in the margin. If you'll note in the margin, they translate it strife. That word again. Erythea. It introduces that aspect of jealousy and envy. It's a common thing with jealousy and envy to produce strife. Actually, the word is even better than the word strife here, rivalry. Write that down in your mind and in your notes if you take a note. Rivalry. Selfish ambition is rivalry in the Greek. Jealousy and envy produces rivalry. Your flesh, okay, here it is. Learn more about your flesh nature. Your flesh nature is in rivalry with virtually everyone. This is why you have to be in constant control. This is why jealousy and envy are so powerful. Their flesh nature is by nature rival with everyone. We live in a day where we are, in our society, Christians included, obsessed with rivalry between men and women. The Bible for women, the Bible for men. How ridiculous. This is what women need. This is what men need. Let me tell you what we all need. We all need the love produced by God the Holy Spirit. At any given point in our life, that's what we all need. But you see, we're in rivalry. Husbands and wives in rivalry. Men and women in rivalry. Men in rivalry. Women in rivalry. Members of the family. Members of the local church. Living in the flesh. People, it's the pits. Your flesh nature is just so pitiful. All those five things we study, plus things like this, it's just in a constant rivalry. It always feels threatened. It's always looking at what others did and what others have and how others look and what others are doing and all the rest of it. It'll ruin you. It'll eat you out. It's rottenness to the bones is the best thing the Bible says in that regard. Why we have to learn who we are in Christ, believe who you are in Christ, and live who you are in Christ. It's the only way you're going to be content in knowing what you are and cut all this rivalry out. Some people handle it with a que sera, sera. Well, whatever will be, and I'm just going to forget it, and nothing matters anymore. A lot of country songs about it don't matter anymore. It just doesn't matter anymore. No, that's not what we're talking about here. It's just that something else matters. And what matters is who you are in Christ and what you're doing in regard to your relationship with Christ. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, now look at the phrase, in your heart. Over and over and over, the Bible makes it clear where SAD originates. It's inside of you, and people, this is confirmed by the secular world. Psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors, it's inside of you, and you choose to be. This is not spontaneous reaction. You put your hand in a fire, you spun, you don't even think about it. Your hand withdraws. That's spontaneous reflection. Not jealousy, envy. You make a choice. It's inside. Look what it says. In your heart. And we've seen this over and over. And that's why we study such passages. The mind that is set on him, God will keep in perfect peace. People, it's in your mind. And it's simple. Keep your mind in him. Stay out of the flesh. Though you go in the flesh, you're going to think just the way the flesh thinks. Now, I think that's clear, so let's go to the next one. Do not be arrogant. Well, we'll study this one as the seventh head of our seven-headed dragon inside of us. So we'll save arrogance for that point. And so lie against the truth. Okay, here you are. Here's another principle. Lying. Lying is an evasive technique of jealousy and envy. A person who is obsessed with jealousy and envy will always lie, and people, there's not much you're going to do about it to get them to see the truth. They lie. I know this is what you're doing. And this is what you're doing. And they lie. This is what's going on. And you think you're better. And on and on and on. You're obsessed with lying. People, it is characteristic. Please understand some things about what happens if you have the stronghold of jealousy in your soul. One, strife inside of you. Secondly, right here, lying. A constant that's associated with jealousy and envy. I'm always amused that some believers, arrogant believers, are all offended when another believer lies. He lied to me like that's the sin of all sin. They're committed to impenetrable sin. You lied to me. Well, la-dee-da, wake up. That's the least of their problems, that they've lied to you. They got so much else going on in their soul. If they lied to you, it's just go with it. Don't get all bent out of shape. Get your eyes off of yourself. I know Christians that will get as much or more out of fellowship of the Holy Spirit because of what other people do out of the Spirit and ruin their own spiritual life and fall apart about it. Many Christians about these things. Against the truth, jealousy and envy, people, is built on lies. Please understand that. It's built on Satan's lies. It's built on Satan's lies. It's built on lies. Jealousy and envy is built on lies. That because you have something I don't, you're better, you're superior. You think you are because of this. Because all jealousy and envy is built on lies. You lie against what is real. Verse 15. I turn to this one rather quickly. This wisdom. Okay, this is the wisdom that you've accepted from the world. This is wisdom of the flesh. You rejected God's wisdom. This is the wisdom of Satan's lie, and I'll show you that. This wisdom is not that wisdom. It's not that, and the word that means wisdom. I put that in for you. It's not that wisdom which comes down from above, spiritual. Spiritual wisdom that comes down from God through the teaching and revealing ministry of God the Holy Spirit. But now James lists three properties of wisdom of the flesh that most people live by under Satan's lie. But there he says, now three properties of Satan's lie. Earthly, natural, demonic. Now, I really like to spend a long time in the study of stress, anxiety, and depression on these three words, because they describe why we have stress, anxiety, and depression, why jealousy. But let's just take a quick look at them. First of all, earthly. Earthly. Okay. Let's note a few things. Actually, it's a compound word. It means upon the earth, related to the earth. It's important to the study of stress, anxiety, and depression, not just jealous and envy, but to all sad. Sad is always related to the earth, people. Never heaven. Never eternity. Never the life after death. Never to who you are in Christ. It's always related to things on the earth. It's always related to things on the earth. Think about it. You're ruining your life day in and day out with the various things of stress, anxiety, and depression, your jealousy. You're ruining your life. You're ruining your relationships. You're not walking in who you are in Christ. You're not worshiping with other believers over that which has nothing to do with eternity. Money, prosperity, the car you drive, the clothes you have or don't have, success by earthly standards, where you live, grades your children make, what you look like, what your spouse looks like, what this, what that, the person you married, on and on and on, what you don't have, what you have, dissatisfied, all these types of things, everything is earthly. It's a wisdom related to the earth. And it makes sense according to the earth. I'm always interested in Christians who argue with people on their terms. You can't do that. If you argue on the basis of earthly wisdom, you lose. You cannot take spiritual wisdom, mix it in with earthly wisdom, and come out right. Earthly wisdom will win over if you're going to talk earthly things. Spiritual wisdom is going to win over if you stay in that realm. Oh, boy, do we need to spend time there. Look at the next one. This is even better, just as good or better. Natural. You know what this word is? Flesh. Flesh. This is flesh thinking. Flesh self. This wisdom of Satan's lie appeals to the flesh nature. This has got to run to it, all of us. This is why you are enslaved to this wisdom. It just caters to your flesh self. It's natural. It's in the flesh. Why do you suffer SOD? Why jealousy and envy? Because you live under the wisdom that is related to the earth and appeals to the flesh. And it's Satan's lie. Look at the last word. Demonic. From Satan himself. I know there are people who do not believe in the existence of demons and supernatural creatures and Satan. But I want to tell you something about that. Let me just tell you about those who don't believe in it. This adds all the more to his secrecy. That's what he wants you to do, not believe that he exists. That works right into his plan. That's part of his disguise, part of his wisdom. So the wisdom, the demonic wisdom here, is Satan's lie. My self-worth is made up of my performance plus others' opinion of me. That's demonic wisdom. You want to get a clear picture of your life, of your SAD? Look at verse 16. For when jealousy and selfish ambition, that is that rivalry, exist, now look what it says, there is disorder and every evil thing. Now here, what the Holy Spirit has done is given you a nice clear picture of what's going on inside of you, so that you'll understand jealousy and envy. You know its source, the flesh nature. You know its wisdom, the wisdom related to the earth, wisdom related to the flesh nature, wisdom related to Satan's lie. Comes from the inside of you. Now you see the environment it creates in your own soul. If you suffer from SAD, from jealousy, ask yourself, please be alone when you do this. Just sit down somewhere alone and ask yourself, and be honest when you answer it, what's the environment in my soul? Do I like it? Do I like being stressed, anxiety, and depression? Do I enjoy what jealousy and envy, what jealousy does to me? The answer is no. God has a solution, and that's what we're studying. Let's look quickly at verse 16. For with jealousy and rivalry. Now look, don't pass that first word up, for where. People, this is wherever you are. For wherever you are, because you can take your soul with you, take your head, your heart with you. Wherever you are, you're at home, this is going to be the environment, you're at work, your church, you're the social, you're on the beach, you're taking a walk on a beautiful day. But wherever you are, you're carrying this with you. For where? Wherever you are. For where jealousy and strife exist, and where it exists in your soul, you carry it around with you. That's what it says. There, in that place, that is in your soul, wherever you are, is disorder. What's disorder? Instability, turmoil, restlessness, doubt. Disorder in every area of your life. Disorder no matter what's going on in your life. Disorder inside your soul. You cannot be happy in anything or with anything or about anything. Disorder and every evil thing. What does this mean quickly? Like it's been a long time, but what does it mean? This refers to all that comes from that wisdom of the earth, upon the earth, flesh, and Satan's lie. Every evil thing is that which comes out of it. Okay, let's take a look now at what's going on inside of you. Let's get it all down so we can see it. Here's what's going on inside of you. In your heart, strife, rivalry, bitterness, lying, and disorder. All that's going on inside of you. No wonder you're sad. No wonder you're stressed out and depressed. Look at all the stuff you've got going on inside of you. Jealousy, envy, bitterness, strife, rivalry, lying, and disorder. It's the nature of the flesh to produce all of this in you to try to protect you. It destroys you. Jealousy and envy recognizes all the inequalities and cannot handle it. It cannot handle inequalities. And will destroy to try to handle it. Okay, we will close here, and next week we'll continue this flow and see what God's answer and solution is to all of these things. But we've already seen how God can tear down the stronghold of jealousy in your soul. Let's pray. Wow. Heavenly Father, we don't need to go very far to get a snapshot camera view of what goes on inside of us when we live under Satan's lie, when we have stress, anxiety, and depression from jealousy and envy. But But we thank you for the picture. And we thank you for the solution. But all we have to do is to be who we are in Christ. To live by that wisdom that comes from above. The wisdom that the Spirit gives. And not the wisdom related to the earth. Related to our flesh. And Satan's lie. I pray, Father, that for those who suffer from jealousy tonight, somehow or another they will get these tapes. If they would listen, and the Spirit, they would listen to the Spirit, what the Spirit says, they'll get them, and the Spirit will start tearing down the stronghold of jealousy. Father, we praise you for the God you are, your love, your grace, your mercy on us. In Christ's name, amen.